It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Administration then chose to defame me, and more importantly, the FBI, by saying that the organization was in disarray, that it was poorly led, that the workforce had lost confidence in its leader. Those were lies, plain and simple.
In his interview with Lester Holt on NBC, the president said, I had dinner with him. He wanted to have dinner because he wanted to stay on. Is this an accurate statement?
No, sir.
The president was asked whether he had urged you to shut down the investigation into Michael Flynn. The president responded, quote, no, no. Next question. Is that an accurate statement?
I don't believe it is.
The president never suggested that Mr. Comey, quote, let Flynn go, close quote. The president also never told Mr. Comey, quote, I need loyalty. I expect loyalty, close quote.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. I know it's all over the news. You've been watching it. I'm hoping that you watched a lot of it yourself. And so that was the testimony of James Comey, former FBI director, fired by President Donald Trump very recently, appearing before the Senate Intelligence Committee. Well, that's questionable. Anyway, the Senate Intelligence Committee to testify and speak up for himself and the reasons he thinks he was fired in this ongoing pursuit of whether Russia colluded with Donald Trump and his campaign so that Donald Trump could win the election. Sandy Rios in the morning with you. We're going to talk about that today exclusively, and I'm going to open the phone lines probably at the beginning of the next segment because I'm sure you have a lot of thoughts about the things that you saw, and I want us to just have a chance to talk about it. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. What did you hear that really struck you? Did you come away with, you know what, I'm not even going to fill in the blanks. Because you know why I don't even take a few seconds to explain that. You know, if you have a concern or if you have a comment or some observation that you think is unique, or if you have a question, if there's anything I can answer, if I can, I will. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. And in the interim, I want to give you just a few more pieces of news before because we're going to talk about the Comey testimony the entire show. You know, of course, that Theresa May in Great Britain, the prime minister, called for a special election. She is the leader of the so-called Conservative Party. She actually did not do well. The Conservative Party lost enough seats, and the Corbyn Party, which is the Labour Party. Corbyn is a leftist, socialist, Marxist. This is not good news. And the Labour Party, led by Jeremy Corbyn, who was her opponent, picked up a lot more seats. They were supposed to lose 20, and they picked up a bunch. And so what happened was, I know their system is different than ours, but just briefly speaking, that means that Theresa May is not able to, what they call, form a government in order to govern. And so while we were sleeping, she went to the Queen and asked for permission to form a government, even though she lacks probably 20, I think it's 20 so seats, in order to have the majority that, or the number of votes, number of seats that she needs to actually form a majority. And the Queen granted that. So that sort of maybe, I don't know, but it seems as though my shallow knowledge of that, because it just happened, is that may have averted a crisis. Because you know that we need to pray for our British friends. After all they've been through this last few weeks, the last things that they need is instability in their government. And certainly the last thing they need is a socialist Marxist leading their government. Theresa May is not, you know, a powerhouse, and I think that's probably why she struggled so much. But she at least has some good positions and will at least to some degree protect her people. And then I also want to tell you that we talked to Brigitte Gabriel a couple of days ago. Act for America is having March Against Sharia's all over the country tomorrow That's actforamerica.org, actforamerica.org. There are phenomenal speakers appearing all over. You can see if there's one in your community. But let me just say that Brigitte has asked for prayer because there are certain threats coming their way as a result of these rallies, and she needs us to pray for her. So will you please do that? Pray for her, her staff, and all those rallies that are going to be taking a place around the country tomorrow. And then also this reality winner, what a name, the other leaker besides James Comey, the little girl, she is little, and she seems very young to me. She's 25 years old. She has the highest security clearance. Really? Really? Yeah, she does. And so she leaked, allegedly, to intercept a piece of crucial information, top secret. She's very proud of that. Now we know that she has written in a notebook, "I want to burn the White House down. Find somewhere in Kurdistan to live." Ha ha, that's what she wrote. She's fluent in Arabic and Farsi, which is, you know, it's very interesting. She had software on her computer that would allow her to make fake IDs or passports without revealing her identity or location. And the last thing, in one of her jailhouse phone calls, she said she planned to, quote, play that card, being pretty, white, and cute. But her folks, you know, she's a stand-up citizen. Her parents told us she's a real patriot, and they're upset about how she's being portrayed in the media. So that's the update on her. And last but not least, I would recommend to you these stories. There's one this morning. I haven't even had a chance to read it. It's in The Atlantic. It's Bernie Sanders' religious test for Russ Vought. Russ is a Wheaton College grad. He's been appointed to be deputy director of the White House Office of Management and Budget. And Bernie Sanders, along with another senator, I think it was Chris Van Hollen, yeah, grilled him over his faith in Christ and what he has said about Islam before in regard to Wheaton College. And it was just a dreadful exchange. And, of course, there is to be no religious test, not for immigrants coming in here, but there's no religious test for people to hold office and to be involved in public life in this country. And so the Atlantic story we'll put on our Facebook page so that you can, you know, actually, no, let's do this. We'll put the David French article about this from National Review and that you can read it and actually watch the exchange between Bernie Sanders yelling at Russell Vought because of what he has said about Christianity, its uniqueness, and the difficulty with Islam. And so it's pretty stunning exchange. But now back to the issue at hand. Let me just start with a clip, and then I'm going to talk to you about some of my observations, and then I want your comments about it. One of the most stunning moments, of course, was when James Comey said this. Cut to.
The president tweeted on Friday, after I got fired, that I better hope there's not tapes. I woke up in the middle of the night on Monday night, because it didn't dawn on me originally, that there might be corroboration for our conversation. There might be a tape. And my judgment was I needed to get that out into the public square. And so I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel. And so I asked a close friend of mine to do it.
Who was that?
A good friend of mine who's a professor at Columbia Law School.
So the director of the FBI, after he was fired, leaked his memos, which are the property of the government. He wrote them when he was FBI director. They are not public property. They are not for public consumption. He leaked that to his good friend, Columbia law professor at Radical Columbia, by the way, could I say, who then turned around and leaked it to the New York Times. And the big hole in that story is that he said he did that because Donald Trump tweeted that he had tapes, or that he teased that he might have tapes. And then James Comey later in the question and answer session said that, Lordy, I hope there are tapes. Well, if he read Donald Trump's tweet that there might be tapes and then felt the need, so much a need, that he actually leaked to the New York Times his notes on it, why is he worried about tapes? Wouldn't he say, I don't need to leak my notes because there are tapes? So it is a total contradiction, which brings me back to, let me just set the stage here, a couple of things. I don't know if you saw the beginning of the hearing, But Senator Richard Burr, of whom I am not a fan, this is how it went down. He's the chairman, and I've said to you, I'm not a fan. And yesterday was Exhibit A of why I am not. Because he sat on the committee, he gives this long introduction, and he's kind of smiling, and he's got a little, and he's so glad. Director Comey, you have such integrity, and we thank you for your service, and we've worked with you, and we're so glad you're here, and oh my goodness, it's a wonderful thing what you've done, your openness, your candor, blah blah blah. Okay, so that's his opening statement. And then he turns to the Democratic head. Oh, and by the way, he adds, this is a bipartisan effort to get to the bottom of whether there was, the Russian involvement in our election. And then he turns it over to Mark Warner, the senator from Virginia, who then begins to lay out the case, Comey's case, like a defense attorney talking to the jury. Now, isn't it true, Mr. Comey, that you said, but it's all about Comey. It's all about defending him. And in the course of doing that, Mark Warner tells so many untruths. I was just flabbergasted. Of course, I've been in Senate hearings. I know how this goes. They are not held to a standard of truth. For one, I'll just pick out one thing. He talked about the Russian hack of the DNC computer. I've told you, we've talked about this at great length. We do not know who hacked the DNC computer because the FBI never went in. They took that piece of information from a third-party company that the DNC hired to go and investigate. The FBI let them do that, didn't insist on getting in them. Oh, no, that's all right. Okay, you don't want us to go in? Then we'll let this company owned, by the way, by a Russian, and it was this company that said it was the Russians who hacked the email server. And Comey, even yesterday, said, oh, it's a reputable company. So listen. And so Mark Warner repeats that, and he lays out the story, Comey's line on the whole thing, everything. And Richard Burr, who's supposed to be the counterbalance, sits there. Oh, they're small. Oh, yes, this is a bipartisan committee. And so Mark Warner, by the way, before he starts into this, says this whole process is nonpartisan. It's not a matter of being a Democrat or a Republican. And then he launches into his defense of Comey. It's just pretty amazing. I saw Senator Roy Blunt. I'm also not a fan of Senator Blunt. So I saw him in an interview with Neil Cavuto yesterday, and Roy Blunt basically said this. Well, it really wasn't necessarily a very good day for Donald Trump, and it wasn't a very good day for James Comey, but it was a great day for that committee. I mean, they did a great job. They showed, how wonderful they are. I mean, I was just stunned, as though that matters. Who cares how they look? Oh, they care how they look. And as a matter of fact, if you sat through the whole 3 hours, at the end, Senator Richard Burr said something up to Mr. Comey, he says. Well, Director Comey, don't you think that this committee then has proven that it's well-equipped to handle this investigation and very professionally that we can do this job? And Director Comey, oh, yes, I agree. Yes, this committee is wonderful, blah, blah, blah. This is the Exhibit A of why we are in the mess we are in. Our Senate especially, and certainly our House of Representatives as well, are filled with egomaniacs, blind to the dangers that we are facing, only concerned about how they look on camera and whether they can pose and preen before that camera. Now, there were several senators on that committee to balance this out who asked some really good questions, and we're going to be hearing about those, and we'll get into that. I'm going to be playing clips for you, but I'm also going to go right to the phone lines. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. What did you think? Did you watch it? What things struck you? What was missing? What wasn't missing? What were your favorite moments? Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about. 888-589-8840. Let's talk. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
So What would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Steve Russo with Real Answers.
Most Friday nights, old Ed walked to the pier carrying a bucket of shrimp. Before long, dozens of seagulls engulf him, and he tosses shrimp to the hungry birds, saying, "Thank you." Ed's ritual might seem weird. Not so. Eddie Rickenbacker was a World War II hero. On a flying mission across the Pacific, he and his crew went down. They floated in the water, and by day 8, their rations ran out. They prayed for a miracle. Eddie leaned back and pulled his military cap over his nose. Suddenly, he felt something on his cap. It was a seagull. Eddie grabbed it, and the crew made a meal and used the intestines for bait. They caught fish, giving them food and more bait. The cycle continued for 24 days until their rescue. Eddie never forgot the sacrifice of that first seagull, and he never stopped saying thank you.
For real answers to real issues, log on to Steve's website, www.realanswers.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. Liberty University's in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Dr. Kent Medlin is the superintendent of schools in Willard, Missouri. He's one of those guys who speaks from his heart. He's also a Christian man, so it was not all that surprising when he referenced his faith during last month's graduation ceremony. Dr. Medlin invited the crowd to stand up and pray, and he quoted from the Bible. But his remarks angered four students who threatened to contact the American Civil Liberties Union. The Board of Education investigated. They said the superintendent violated school policy. Dr. Medlin apologized, but that was not good enough. Now, it just so happened that Dr. Medlin is retiring at the end of the month, so the Board of Education decided to suspend him for the remainder of his tenure. It was a shameful decision, but not all that surprising. In a public school system where Christians are treated like second-class citizens. I'm Todd Stearns.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
FBI investigation.
In theory, yes.
Has it happened?
Not in my experience, because it would be a big deal to tell the FBI to stop doing something that, without an appropriate purpose. I'm talking about a situation where we were told to stop something for a political reason. That would be a very big deal. It's not happened in my experience.
All right, that you didn't hear the first part of that, but that was not yesterday. That was May the 3rd, and that was James Comey saying that no one in the Trump administration, to the best of his knowledge, had tried to stop the investigation, and yet, of course, he tried to have it both ways yesterday. He also said something that was really amazing, really amazing. This is clip six.
At one point, the Attorney General had directed me not to call it an investigation, but instead to call it a matter, which confused me and concerned me. It gave the impression that the Attorney General was looking to align the way we talked about our work with the way a political campaign was describing the same activity, which was inaccurate. We had a criminal investigation open.
All right. He's talking about Loretta Lynch. I should have set that up better. He is going back to, based on a question, to recall that Loretta Lynch asked him or ordered him, depending on which word he used, to use the same language describing the Clinton investigation. Don't say investigation. She said, don't use that word. Use the word matter. Don't use that word. Use the word matter. And I believe he said in his testimony yesterday that made him queasy. But one could note that he never made a note about that or said a word. And one could also note that that, ladies and gentlemen, was ordering him to align his investigation with Mrs. Clinton, with her campaign. He didn't say he wouldn't do it. Those are amazing things. And I have to say one thing before I go to your calls. You know, Comey delivers a very professionally. He's very impressive. Just his size alone. He delivers a very professionally stated, well-worded statement, and he's very measured, and he sounds so trustworthy. But when you actually listen to what he says, it's disturbing. Speaking of his words, disturbing. I was unsettled. I was unnerved. I whatever. Fill in the blanks. There is something wrong here. Louis Gohmert said it best this morning, Congressman Louis Gohmert, on Fox and Friends, and he said, Trump should have fired him. I'm glad he's gone. All right, so I want to know what you think, though. I could talk till the cows come home, and they might just come home. But let's talk about what you saw yesterday in the Comey testimony and what's on your mind. Let's go to Bill in West Virginia. Good morning, Bill.
Hi, Sandy. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Listen, I remember a show that, and I believe it was your show, I don't think it was Brian Fisher's, because I remember it was in the morning. I was sitting in a Walmart parking lot listening to the whole thing for 1 hour. When you were interviewing a man that knew Comey well, and one of his statements was that Comey was a dirty cop. And he went into quite lengthy description on how Comey has hated Dick Cheney his whole career and tried to get Dick Cheney. And it was laid out so much that Comey is nothing but a liar. And like I said, the man used the terminology, a dirty cop, his whole life. We ought to go back to that interview, if that was your interview. And
yeah,
I think
you know
was.
What? That you're talking about Joe DiGenova. And I played a clip of Joe. I didn't actually have him on. Maybe Brian played it too. I don't know. But Joe DiGenova made that statement. Of course, I know Joe, and I've actually heard him discuss this. I tried to get him on yesterday, but he's out of the country. But Joe DiGenova absolutely said that he cannot stand Comey, and I have to tell you that insiders in the intelligence community, many of them feel the same way. You remember, Bill? Did you remember yesterday when Comey was calling Trump a liar?
The thing that he said
he lied about is because because President Trump said that the FBI is in disarray. And the employees or the agents are unhappy. There's not good leadership, and then Comey said, and that's a lie. Go ahead, Bill. I'll let you respond to that.
That was the truth. I remember hearing that on your show too, a long time ago. That after he did what he did with Hillary Clinton and letting her off, there was over 400 FBI agents that wanted to leave the job.
That's right.
Because of that.
Yes.
And it wasn't just your show. It was on many shows. It was even on Fox News, too, okay?
Yeah.
So,
that was a lie. He said unequivocally yesterday. I mean, again, this goes to my point about his measured tones and how he looks so convincing. And we just heard from, you know, Senator Richard Burr and also Mark Warner what a fine man of integrity he is. And so this, for people who are not watching and paying attention, it is a murky, unclear picture. And if they're not listening like you are, Bill, they don't understand that. No, he isn't. He really isn't. Do you remember the story, I bet you do, of stuff that broke in the last part of the campaign? The timeline escapes me, but it was still during the campaign. And the New York office of the FBI was just beside themselves because they had some stuff that had broken, and they wanted to investigate it, and their hands were tied. And also remember, it was under Comey that Mrs. Clinton's aides were allowed to keep their laptops and destroy them, even though they were part of this investigation. There are so many things that Comey did that are so, they smell to high heaven and really do, I think, qualify him as the number one dirty cop. And if the FBI has taken a hit on its reputation, I lay it squarely on the shoulders of James Comey. And I guess that's about as strong a thing as I can say. Bill, I thank you for your phone call. Let's go to Ricky in Texas. Good morning, Ricky.
Good morning, Sandy. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
I listen to your show every morning. I just love listening to you. Hey, Sandy, I was kudos to you because you're the only commentator that I've heard that has tied together that there was absolutely no need for Comey to release his memo to the New York Times if there were tapes in the White House, which would corroborate the conversation. And that was just a political stunt from him. No need to do that, but just another way to get back at Donald Trump.
Well, and also, why that doesn't make sense. Like, if his memos, why is he worried about? If there are tapes, then that would prove that the conversation went down the way he said it went down. Why would you rush to get your notes out because you just heard there were tapes? He contradicted that himself in the testimony when he said, "Lordy, I hope there are tapes." He indicated that he hoped there were tapes, but then he rushes to get his memos out in case there are tapes. It makes no sense, Ricky. And honestly, it does kind of show you his duplicitousness. It does give you a window into why he's slippery. He is very slippery and not to be trusted, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly right. And I'm just wondering why those senators didn't pick up on that and question that further. It's beyond me. And I've talked to my wife about this. I'm puzzled by it. And I was so happy that you pointed that out so perfectly this morning. Thank you very much.
Okay, Ricky, thanks for listening. Let's go to, one thing you have to remember with these senators, not all of them, not the Ted Cruz's, and even Marco Rubio did a great job yesterday. Do we have the Marco Rubio clip, you guys? Okay, I don't know if we do. We're having a little complication this morning, but we'll find that. We got it. Okay, play the Marco Rubio clip because let me say this first. Most of these guys, not most, many of those in the Senate, especially the old guys, they don't do much. They don't do much. Their staff does everything, writes their statements, and so you see them reading from their statements because they really don't know anything. But not so with Marco Rubio. That's why they don't notice what's going on, the nuances, because they don't have knowledge. They really are just guys. They're flim-flam men, many of them. They're all dressed up with these beautiful shirts and beautiful ties, and they read their statements well. And they go before the camera, and that's about the extent of it. But Marco Rubio's an exception. Here is his exchange with Comey yesterday.
The three requests were, number one, be loyal. Number two, let the Mike Flynn thing go. He's a good guy. He's been treated unfairly. And number three, can you please tell the American people what these leaders in Congress already know, what you already know, what you've told me three times, that I'm not personally under investigation?
Those are the three things he asked. Yes, sir.
You know, this investigation is full of leaks left and right. I mean, we've learned more from the newspapers sometimes than we do from our open hearings, for sure. You ever wonder why, of all the things in this investigation, the only thing that's never been leaked is the fact that the president was not personally under investigation, despite the fact that both Democrats and Republicans and the leadership of Congress knew that and have known that for weeks?
I don't know. I find matters that are briefed to the Gang of Eight are pretty tightly held, in my experience.
I don't know. Now, he just told us he leaked his own notes to the New York Times, but he doesn't know why it couldn't possibly have leaked that the president of the United States was not under investigation. And could I balance that with a story by Dan McLaughlin just yesterday that I want to share with you briefly as I can? The title is Comey Wasn't Investigating Trump, but look who said he was. And he goes through and traces, and I had counted, I got to 16 cases that he's just notated. The Democrats and some of the leftist press are saying, now, no, we never said that Trump was under investigation. We never said that. And he has tracked from Salon, the FBI is leading an investigation into Donald Trump's connections with Russia. From Neera Tanden, the president of the Center for American Progress, the FBI is investigating a sitting president. Been a long time since that happened. New York Times headline, the FBI is investigating Trump's Russia ties, Comey confirms. The Atlantic, it's official, the FBI is investigating Trump's links to Russia. Huffington Post, we have a president under, I could go on, GQ, Daily Kos, MSNBC, Joe Scarborough, The Guardian, Chuck Schumer, of course, made hay out of all of this on the floor, and Huffington Post reported it. Schumer calls on Democrats to boycott Neil Gorsuch vote while Trump is under FBI investigation. Elizabeth Warren carried the banner. Rachel Maddow, Schumer, wrong to vote on Gorsuch while Trump under investigation. I could go on. I mean, there's just so many of them. And that's why, you know, when Donald Trump appeared with Lester Holt and they had this exchange where, okay, I'll read it. Trump, I actually asked him, yes, I said, if it's possible, would you let me know? Am I under investigation? And he said, you are not under investigation, by the way. Trump, in his memo firing Comey, said you told me three times I wasn't fired. And now then the press came out and leaks from the FBI. No, he didn't do that. And then Comey, in his statement, said, well, yes, he gave three times when he had told Donald Trump that he personally was not under investigation. But back to this Holt exchange. Holt says, but he's given sworn testimony that there's an ongoing investigation into the Trump campaign and possible collusion with the Russian government. You were the centerpiece of the Trump campaign. Trump, well, all I can tell you is, Holt, so was he being truthful when he said you weren't under investigation? So even, you know, Lester Holt can't believe that he's not, because all of these sources are saying that he is. And yet Comey cannot figure out, well, I don't understand why that didn't leak. I don't know. You know, this committee is such an honorable body. When we tell you things we notice, things do not get out. So I guess, you know, it just, that was just the thing that didn't leak, that Donald Trump was not under investigation. All right, let's go to Luke in Texas. Good morning, Luke.
Hey, Miss Sandy. I listen to your show every day on my way to work. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
One thing that stood out to me yesterday, and really I'm ashamed to say it took me a second to really catch it, and it kind of seemed like it took Comey by surprise, was the fact, I'm trying to remember the senator, was one of the last ones who spoke, and they act like he went way over his time, but he really came down hard on the fact as the double standard. If their question is, did Russia have anything to do with our elections, why was Comey so quick to say that, oh, Hillary Clinton has nothing, you know, it shouldn't be investigated at all in it, but yet Trump should be? And that senator pointed out the double standard, something I really never thought too much about until he made that point. And it took me a little bit to catch on to what he was saying. And even like you said, Comey seemed confused by it, as if it took him off guard too. But both candidates really should have been under the microscope, was his point. I thought it was a good one.
That was John McCain, who was very, very good. Yes, I think his point was actually good too. Luke, it got a little lost in his, he seemed to be confused in the moment. And that's in a whole other story, but I don't want to get off on a sidetrack. I think you're right, and there's no question. Look, you've heard me say, I know you have, that the person that James Comey put in charge of investigating Hillary Clinton's email, her leaking, her allowing entities to handle top secret, understanding as a Secretary of State that that was illegal. She understood it. She did it anyway. His decision, he put the person so-called investigating that, Gary McCabe, the guy who is, Andrew McCabe, who is running the FBI now after Comey was fired. Andrew McCabe's wife was paid by Terry McAuliffe, fundraiser for the Clintons, $700,000 to run for office in Virginia. But I'm sure McCabe has no preference. There's no motivation for him not to really investigate Mrs. Clinton. I'm sure there's no motivation whatsoever. And by the way, my husband, who you heard yesterday, pointed out to me this morning that when Comey kept talking about, I discuss it with my team, who do you think that team is? And do you think that Gary McCabe and the others, I don't know who the others are. I'll just say Gary McCabe, because we'll stop with that. I can't, maybe the rest are great guys. I hope they are. But we know that Comey's best friend is a Columbia Law School professor. And I have to say, when Kamala Harris, who is now a senator from California, who is, you know, aiming for the presidency, beautiful black woman, very articulate, but off the left, off the charts, open borders. When she began to speak, Comey lit up like a Christmas tree. Anybody notice that? I mean, you know, I can talk about my feelings too, Mr. Comey. I felt that you lit up like a Christmas tree when Kamala Harris, the leftist senator, began to speak. But call me crazy. All right, we're going to go to your calls. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. A few more clips, but mostly what you think about what you saw yesterday when we return. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Andrea Yearwood, a freshman who was born male, won the girls' 100-meter and 200-meter dashes at the Connecticut High School Class M State Championships. Yearwood's winning times were 12.66 seconds in the 100 meters and 26.08 seconds in the 200. The last place time in the boys' 100 and 200-meter finals were 11.73 seconds and 25.59 seconds, respectively. That means Yearwood's times would have placed him dead last in the boys' races. Progression? Or are we letting mediocre male athletes dominate female sports in the name of political correctness?
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
The AFA Cultural Institute presents Revive Us Again, a powerful new DVD featuring David Butts of Harvest Prayer Ministries.
We need to experience the presence of Christ in a fresh, new way.
Revive Us Again outlines the history and meaning of revival and practical ways to pray for it.
It's time for another great awakening in the United States.
Revive Us Again is available from the AFA Cultural Institute at afastore.net.
Hi, this is David Barton of Wall Builders Live, inviting you to join me here on American Family Radio this weekend. We take the ideas of the Founding Fathers and apply those ideas to the major issues of the day. Our guests include those who are in the headlines, as well as experts on issues facing this great nation. Along the way, you'll discover the role that faith has played in our nation's history as well as in dealing with the issues we face right now. Join us Saturday afternoon at 2 Central here on American Family Radio.
A boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. That is a highlight of our tour of the Holy Land when we go on the boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. A special time to be on the very water where Jesus walked, where he spent time with his disciples, and you know, in fact, you're the place where Jesus was. So many sights we're going to see in the Holy Land that are just like that. We know Jesus was here. The trip is in March, March 8th through the 16th, and we'd love for you to come with us. So many places we're going to see you've read about since you were a child. For more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to you in the mail, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, extension 5.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. While much of America was fixated yesterday on the Something for Everybody congressional testimony of former FBI Director James Comey, British voters massively repudiated their Prime Minister, Theresa May. The implications are not yet clear. It can only be hoped that the hapless Mrs. May will not try to cling to the leadership of her Conservative Party. Clearly, Britain needs a new, hopefully far more charismatic and robust Tory leader to form a coalition better suited to fighting both Sharia supremacism at home and the European Union over Brexit. Those who understand the vital role the US-UK special relationship plays in securing the free world must now pray that when the dust settles, both the British and the rest of us will be spared the once unimaginable and horrific alternative, a United Kingdom misled and inevitably undone by the Labour Party's Marxist leader, Jeremy Corbyn. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
You didn't consider your memo or your sense of that conversation to be a government document. You considered it to be somehow your own personal document that you could share with the media as you wanted to?
I understood this to be my recollection recorded of my conversation with the president. As a private citizen, I felt free to share that. I thought it very important to get it out.
A lot of this comes down to who should we believe. Do you want to say anything as to why we should believe you?
I've tried to be open and fair and transparent and accurate.
Yeah, well, he's tried. Maybe not succeeded. You know, I have to tell you about the issue, a couple of things about the issue of him meeting privately with the president, or about his acting as though he's just shocked that the president would say, I hope you can see your way clear. to letting this thing with Flynn go. He's a good man. Okay, so that's basically what the president said to him. And this is, if you don't believe me or my husband who talked yesterday about what the law is on this, Alan Dershowitz, who's not a conservative, wrote this. The president can, in theory, decide who to investigate, who to stop investigating, who to prosecute, and who not to prosecute. The president is the head of the unified executive branch of government, and the Justice Department and the FBI work under him, and he may order them to do what he wishes. Our history shows that many presidents, from Adams to Jefferson to Lincoln to Roosevelt to Kennedy to Bush 1 and to Obama, have directed the Justice Department with regard to ongoing investigations. The history is clear. The precedents are clear. The constitutional structure is clear, and common sense is clear. Yet virtually every Democratic pundit, in their haste to get President Trump, has willfully ignored these realities. And in doing so, they have endangered our civil liberties and constitutional rights. Now, the point is not that it seems to me, based on Trump's words, I don't know how a reasonable person could argue that he was forcing or threatening even Comey in any way about this investigation of Flynn. And yet that's what the storyline has been because of Comey's silence. And then one last thing. I want you to hear this clip from Comey before I go back to the phone lines, because Comey is asked why he was fired. Let's listen. It's clip 7.
It confused me when I saw on television the president saying that he actually fired me because of the Russia investigation, and learned again from the media that he was telling privately other parties that my firing had relieved great pressure on the Russia investigation. I was also confused by the initial explanation that was offered publicly, that I was fired because of the decisions I had made during the election year. That didn't make sense to me for a whole bunch of reasons, including the time and all the water that had gone under the bridge since those hard decisions that had to be made. That didn't make any sense to me. And although the law required no reason at all to fire an FBI director, the administration then chose to defame me, and more importantly, the FBI, by saying that the organization was in disarray, that it was poorly led, that the workforce had lost confidence in its leader. Those were lies, plain and simple.
Yeah, well, I've already addressed that, and I also have to remind you that the workforce, when he uses that word, that's not agents. There are hundreds of support persons in the D.C. FBI office who are very Democratic. Trust me, they're for Hillary and Barack Obama. And they loved Comey as well. I'm sure that the acting director right now, McCabe, loves him too. But I can tell you the rank and file are split, and there was disarray, and so that was not a lie. All right, so with that, I'll go back to the phones. Let's go to Shirley in Tennessee. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning. I'm going to make this point real quickly and get off and listen to you, Sandy. Daniel 11 and Revelations 13 and 14 speaks of the system rising. God hates this system, and we must keep fighting this Clinton, Bernie, Sanders, Obama system. I had heard that the Queen was compromised by belief in Muslims and in the New World Order, so I'm praying for the Britons that things will go well. Reality Winner sounds like a Muslim. And I want to say that Comey put us in danger. He should have been fired day one. If I'd have been president, even if they tried to impeach me day one, which they've been trying to do anyway, I would have fired him. He threw our secrets to the media. He lied on Trump, which is slander, and he did that with, of course, slander is no basis. And treason used to get people thrown in front of the firing squad. All these people need to be thrown in jail, and I don't know why they're still walking around here. And DNC hacks, I've been wondering about those, because all they got to do is put any information they want on the Internet, since Obama made sure before he left office that it was given to the Muslims, the Chinese, the Russians, and I don't know why they took it, knowing that people were already accusing them of hacking things, the Africans, et cetera, last October before he left office. It just seems like we're thrown towards the beast system slowly but surely, and the New World Order is trying to take over. Thank you so much for reporting on all this. And if Ms. Harris, Kanola Harris, thinks she's going to win, she's got another thing coming, because the Bible doesn't speak of a woman ruling in the end. It speaks of a man over a beast system, a woman riding the beast. Thank you.
Bye-bye. I surely thank you. Well, the only thing, Shirley, I love you. I love your comments. I do think we have to be, I think the actual facts, the things that we don't speculate, but the actual facts are shocking enough. And so I guess I try very hard. I have strong opinions, of course, and emotions too about this, just like James Comey. I have strong feelings too. But I think we have to be very careful about extrapolating. Of course, we don't know for sure about the end of times. We have a lot of theories floating around. So I prefer to talk about the things that we actually know. We know that there's so much trouble and duplicitousness and lying. And we can see for ourselves that the media, the media are cooperating with that, but the world elites want to move to central power. There's no question about that. We're watching it happen in Europe, and we're watching, look at what Obama set up in Canada, criticizing President Trump just a few days ago about basically about xenophobia, which is like when you love your own country, that's called phobia. It's when you're too, from their perspective, too centered on the love of your own country. And that's what he was talking about with the Canadians getting great applause. And, you know, so we know for a fact that there was a move towards doing away with national identity and moving to some central power. That is a fact for sure. All right, let's go to David in Tennessee. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Sandy. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. Thank you very much for asking.
All right. Well, I just wanted to make a couple of quick comments about I want to know why Comey was not arrested immediately after the hearing yesterday. He admitted that he leaked classified conversation. It doesn't have to be classified. It was an intimate conversation with the president to the New York Times. Same thing as Reality Winners did. He leaked information that should not have been leaked. He should have been arrested. And why wasn't there a search warrant issued to go to his home? He admitted that he had that information in his house. That information does not belong to him. He was then a private citizen.
Yeah.
When a company fires someone, security comes, gets that person, escorts them to their car, escorts them off the property so that no further retaliatory actions can be taken against the company. James Comey admitted that he leaked the information to the New York Times. He admitted that he has possibly classified information in his home. Why is he not being searched? And why was he not arrested? It was a clear display of the double standard. Loretta Lynch directed him to use the word matter, not investigation, which he complied with. Loretta Lynch should be brought in and questioned about this. There were so many things that he admitted to. And then I also know if you also, Dr. James Corsi did a great series of articles about Comey's interference for the Clintons. If you'll look at that, that would be wonderful for you to comment and share with the listeners. But
okay, he writes some great stuff. I will look for that, and of course, yeah, I could recite some for you myself. I mean, there's no question that James Comey has in his powerful position done what he could to advance the cause of the left, primarily Mrs. Clinton. I mean, the fact that he didn't take notes, he didn't feel the need to take any notes after he met with Loretta Lynch, after Bill Clinton met with Loretta Lynch on the tarmac and they talked about this. No notes about that. He wasn't, you know, upset about that. No declarations to the public. No problem. When President Obama went before the public and said there was nothing criminal in the IRS investigation, there was nothing criminal, he declared that publicly. And yet we know there was criminal activity by the IRS leadership against conservative organizations, and it has yet to be prosecuted. And the president at that time made a public statement, which obviously was a very strong hint to how the FBI ought to handle that investigation. And one could notice that as a result of that, there was precious little done. Also, one could notice that in terms of leaking that's coming out of the White House, out of the intelligence agencies, being leaked to all these, that there's been absolutely nothing done by the FBI as far as we know. They've been slow-walking information to these congressional committees who were investigating this. And that's under Comey's, and remember then, under Comey's leadership, I should finish my sentence. And so then, you know, when Comey's asked, I wonder why the fact that Donald Trump wasn't under investigation and never has been, I wonder why that wasn't leaked. Well, I don't know, says Comey. I don't know why that wasn't leaked. I mean, can you not see what a fraud he is? David, thank you so much for your comments. And let's go to Emily in Virginia. Good morning, Emily. Oh, and maybe Emily's not there. Let's go to Marty in Iowa. Good morning, Marty.
Sandy, thank you so much for what you guys are doing. And one word is what I kept seeing yesterday was patriotism. And you could see such a distinct line of who is against this country and who's not. And Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And it was so contrasted yesterday. And I agree with this last gentleman. Why isn't Comey being arrested? And the professor who it was leaked to, this is where the leak came from. And they are trying to distort and destroy this country because of a hatred of a president who is a patriot and loves this country. We didn't call him to be perfect, but we did call him to lead us. And he's doing a fabulous job with, whether you want to call it the left, leaning liberal media, which I refuse to listen to. That's where I get my messages from, is a righteous media, which is AFR. I love you guys to pieces because you tell the truth. And yes, we all are calling on God, and that is the leader of this globe. And when we distort Jesus Christ, we distort what this country was established on. And I'm just excited, and I think that we're not doing the job. Comey should be in prison right now, and he can explain with his, I'm right along with Jay Sekulow. He's saying he should be in prison as we speak.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how this develops, Marty. My understanding also is that there were more meetings with Comey and Loretta Lynch that have not even been made public. And that there are some indication that there is some other things have taken place. So hopefully, but so you see, listen, Marty, you see who's investigating this Senate committee. I mean, there are some good people on there. Tom Cotton did a great job, and Marco Rubio did, and I don't want to call every the guy from Reich, who I'm not really familiar with, did a good job of questioning. But for the most part, the leadership is just what are they? I don't know what the word is. And so our lives, we placed our future and the future of our country in the hands of incompetence and even worse. And so this is why, if you wonder why we're in the shape we're in, that's the reason, because we have corruption. That's why Judicial Watch talks about corruption all the time. Corruption Chronicles, the corruption of Washington. Now, I don't say this to discourage you, because I would have to say to you, look, I think that truth is prevailing here. I don't know if you would agree with that, but I think truth is prevailing. We'll see how things unfold. You know, CNN has had to retract one of their stories. Even Chris Matthews says that the Trump collusion story came apart with the Comey testimony. You already heard what Alan Dershowitz said. So Lord willing, you know, these lies will crumble and righteousness and truth will be exalted. And that's what we pray for. I want to tell you that I'm going to be gone next week, but in my seat will be Abraham Hamilton, who you love. I know you do. Fred Jackson. And then also we have a couple of shows that you're going to love. Paul Kinger is going to join me Friday talking about his new book, The President and the Pope. So you'll hear my voice. I just won't really actually be there, but it is a great book. It's happening next Friday, and then all the shows leading up to it will be good as well. So you will be in good hands. And so on our knees, praying for Brigitte Gabriel and those rallies tomorrow for our country, for the president. And I'll talk to you next week. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.